Today is a day that we start something new. Aren't you ready to start something new? I can tell. That's great. Yeah, brand new sermon series. We begin a sermon series today called Prayer, the Heart's True Home, Finding the Heart's True Home. And it's a four-week sermon series. And some of you may be thinking, really? 4 weeks in a row on prayer? How much can one person say about prayer? How much can one congregation take about prayer? Why 4 weeks in a row? And I tell you it's 4 weeks in a row because I believe it is that important. It is that important for a person who is on a spiritual journey. It is that important for men and women, young and old, who are striving after deeper meaning in life, a greater connection with the God of all creation, a greater connection with one another. Prayer makes that happen. And so today's sermon is going to be introductory, but it's also going to be very much invitational to come on board with prayer. But next week, we're going to take a look at prayers that go inward, seeking the transformation that we need. And it doesn't matter how long you have journeyed in this thing called faith, we know that each of us continues to need transformation. We're going to look at prayers that focus on upward, the ministry that we need, and we're going to end with prayers that are outward, focusing on the intimacy we need. I hope you'll be here for all of these sermons this month. If you miss any of them, they're on our website. You can listen to them. You can subscribe to our podcasts. But there are so many different styles of prayer. We're going to explore some of them throughout these 4 weeks. But I want to tell you, there is no one right way to pray just for you. Your prayer language may look a lot different than your prayer language. What feeds your spirit may be different than what feeds somebody else's spirit, but we're called to find our way. And so before I begin, or as I begin, you're saying, man, you already began 3 minutes ago. Get it going. I want to tell you what today's sentence of truth is. The one thing I want you to remember if you forget all else, and the sentence of truth is this. It is simply this. Prayer is the heart's true home. And we have a God who longs for us to be at home in God's love, to be in communication with us. God strives after that. This is one of the nature, the qualities of God, which is why when Jesus was telling the parable about the prodigal son, this father who had his son basically say, Dad, you're dead to me, took everything and went off just to ruin it. That father never stopped looking out that window, waiting to see that son. And when that son finally came home with his tail tucked between his legs, that father ran out there to embrace him. Come home. And prayer is the key that unlocks that door. There's a great man within the Methodist history. His name is E. Stanley Jones, was E. Stanley Jones. He's no longer with us. He's one of the very few people that the Methodist Church tried to elect to become a bishop. And he said, no, I think that would interfere with my ministry. He had a powerful ministry. He was personal friends with Mahatma Gandhi, sat down, had conversations with him. He had a passion to take the word of God into other parts of the world. But this is what he said. If I had one gift and only one gift to give to the Christian church, it would be the gift of prayer, for everything follows from prayer. It was that foundational for him. And he reflected something that you and I probably would have experienced to be true in our own lives, and that is our own experience is actually better or worse based on how our prayer life is going. If my life is sagging, it's probably because my prayer life is sagging. If my life is feeling as whole and complete as it has ever been, it's probably because my prayer life has been really deep and filled with quality during that season. There are different seasons, but as Jones said, to fail here, that is in prayer, is to fail all the way down the line. To succeed here is to succeed everywhere. Now, I once heard a saying that scared me, and it might scare you. Somebody once said, do you want to know about someone's spiritual journey? Do you want to know about how they relate to God? Listen to them pray out loud. It'll tell you everything you need. And I thought, wow, that's Do I believe that? Because I'm a person who has to pray out loud, and I am human. You know, sometimes I even get my own daughter's names wrong. Sometimes I say the wrong words in a prayer. Sometimes I stumble. Does that mean that my faith journey, my spiritual journey, my walk with Jesus Christ is filled with stumbles and tumbles? Probably. But for most of us, prayer is so hard. We don't want to be judged by our prayer. But I want to tell you, God would never judge us on our prayer life. Maybe part of the problem is because we misunderstand prayer completely. We experience God to be empty and silent because all we've ever done is asked for something and never received what we were asking for. And I stand before you and say, thanks be to God that God did not say, has not said, will never say yes to everything I ask for. You see, as a heavenly parent, God knows that some of the things I ask for are very selfish. Just like when my daughters were still at home and little, there's no way we could give them or should have given them everything they asked for because it wasn't what was best for them. But if prayer is difficult for you, I have great good news. And it's not news I'm making up. It's not news I came up with. It's news coming straight from the scriptures. It is what the Apostle Paul says to this church in Rome. It says 26 through 27, but I'm actually reading through verse 28. Hear these words. The Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know how to pray as we ought, but that very Spirit intercedes with sighs too deep for words. And God, who searches the heart, knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. We know that all things work together for good for those who love God, who are called according to His purpose. The Word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. You know, I unapologetically love some sermon illustrations more than others, which means it's kind of a part of my common lexicon. I share them. And I've only been here 3.5 years, and I've already shared this next illustration with you once, and I actually wrote it this month. But when I think of what Paul is saying there, I'm reminded of that story of the husband and wife who were going to go get some husband and wife time, which meant they were taking their child to grandma and grandpa. Thanks be to God for grandmas and grandpas that allow husbands and wives, partners, couples to have their own grown-up adult time. But the parents went through the whole routine. We do this at this time, we do this at this time, this is when we brush teeth, this is when, and it all ends by getting in front of the bed and saying prayers. And some children kind of view their grandparents kind of like a substitute teacher. I can get away with anything I want when mom and dad aren't here. And you know what? I have seen enough to know that sometimes it's because they can get away with whatever they want at grandma and grandpa's house, things they couldn't at their own home. But the grandfather was paying attention to this, and he saw his cute little granddaughter go into her room, and she said, "Dear God," and then she said, you remember this, A, B, C, A, B, C, D, E, and she sang the whole song. And Grandpa said, "What are you doing? I thought you were going to be praying." And she said, "I am, Grandpa. I don't know what words to say, so I just give Jesus all the letters, and He puts them together for me in a way that's meaningful." Isn't that exactly what Paul was just saying to us? We don't really know how we really should pray, but the good news is God searches our hearts. God sees us from the inside out, and the Holy Spirit intercedes on our behalf. And so as we begin this series, what is prayer? And some people would say, well, prayer is simply conversation with God. And I would say to you, no, prayer is more than just conversation with God. Prayer is cooperation with God. Prayer is partnership with God. There are different kinds of prayer. You know, we say prayers of praise, prayers of thanksgiving, prayers of confession, prayers of petition, either for ourselves or for someone else. Some of us get to a point where we start to offer up prayers that are yielding. Lord, allow my will to fit with yours. But we know there are stumbling blocks to prayer. Stumbling blocks to prayer. And every time I encounter a stumbling block, I like to think of it more as a hurdle. A hurdle. Because hurdles are in the way in your lane. But hurdles are there to be overcome. Hurdles are there to be leapt over. How many of you ever ran hurdles at any point in your My little legs were too short for me to be a good hurdler, but I know that if you run like the 400 hurdles, each hurdle seems to get taller and taller, even though they're not really taller and taller. But I have four stumbling blocks, four hurdles to our prayer life that I think we need as we begin this series to understand so that we can get over them. And the very first stumbling block is simply what I would call the stumbling block or the hurdle of doubt, an absolute lack of faith. Alfred Lord Tennyson said this, "More things are wrought by prayer than this world of dreams of. Wherefore, let thy voice rise like a fountain for me night and day. For what are men better than sheep or goats that nourish a blind life within the brain, if knowing God, they lift not their hands of prayer?" If they don't know God, if they don't believe, it's this if. Maybe you've heard someone offer up a prayer, "Well, Lord, if you're really there, here's what I need." Right? Maybe you even have at some point experienced some doubt in your own life. We know that doubt is actually a necessary ingredient to faith, because faith is belief in that which has not been seen. But it's this doubt, do you really believe? Jesus, when he would pray over someone and would heal them, he wouldn't say, "Ta-da, I did it." What would Jesus say? "It was your faith that made you well." Cooperating and partnering with God through prayer. So the question is, what kind of God do you believe in? Do you believe in a living God who is active and who is concerned? That first stumbling block is just simply doubting or having no faith in the power of prayer. But the second one, which affluent areas are really susceptible to, is this stumbling block, this hurdle of feeling completely so self-sufficient that there is no need for outside help. Right, we're raised in a society that says, you know, it's good to be self-made. I'm a self-made man. I am a self-made woman. I picked myself up by my own bootstraps. I did this all by myself. And when everything is going great, we think we have no need to go to God for prayer. We have no need to ask for favors. We have no need to acknowledge any indebtedness to a supreme being. We can fall into the trap of saying, "Who needs God?" When we think of our elected officials, we know that there has to be some measure of ego, or even someone who is a highly successful coach, there has to be some kind of ego there, thinking they have no need of others. But one of the great presidents in our country's history, Abraham Lincoln, said this, "I have been driven many times upon my knees by the overwhelming conviction that I had nowhere else to go. My own wisdom and that of all about me seemed insignificant for that day." Acknowledging that just as a man, the task that was before him was going to require extra strength. And he found that strength through prayer. And so we've cleared the hurdle of doubt. We've cleared the hurdle of thinking that we have no need for God. But now we come to stumbling block number three, hurdle number three. And this one is a little bit higher seeming for us. You see, effective prayer demands that we work as well as pray. That we work as well as pray. Prayer is not just waving a wand. No, there's a piece of it that we have to be a part of. Francois Cardinal Spellman said this, "Pray as if everything depended upon God, and work as if everything depended upon you." One Greek philosopher said, "Prayer indeed is good, but while calling on the gods, man should himself lend a hand." You see, God expects us to pray, but God also expects us to do. Prayer is cooperation with God. It's cooperation. It is actually doing something. Frederick Douglass was born a slave on the eastern shore of Maryland. He was born in the early 1800s, lived up to about 1890. He was one of the more prominent African Americans in the 19th century in our own country's history. And this is what somebody said about Frederick Douglass and his walking away from the life of slavery to be a champion for the rights of all people. They said this, "Prayer got down into his feet and he ran away." You see, it's different to just pray for freedom. It's another thing to be filled with prayer, which then leads to the courage to actually go. Prayer got into his feet and he moved. God needs prayer to get into our feet, into our hands, into our hearts, into our minds. Ruskin said, "If you do not wish for his kingdom, don't pray for it. But if you do, you must do more than pray. You must work for it." Work for it is a cooperation. But there is one final stumbling block. And the failure of this stumbling block, again, kind of leads us to this misunderstanding of, indeed, what prayer even is. Prayer doesn't produce a Christian life. Prayer proceeds from a Christian life. It comes out of our spiritual journey. And there's a key understanding. E. Stanley Jones said, "Prayer is not bending God's will to my will, but bringing my will into the conformity with God's, so that God's will may work in and through me. Let thy will be done," was that powerful prayer. Prayer is cooperation with God, and it should flow right through us, but sometimes it's hard because we feel so distant. Now, I watch some TV. I don't have enough time to watch a lot of TV, but there's some, and the TV that I watch nowadays really is very rarely live TV. It's either all DVR'd or it's on something, which gives me the ability to eliminate commercials from my life. But those of you who have tried know you can never completely eliminate a commercial from your life. And so one of the commercials that is on right now, and it's a whole new series of them, is a guy who disappeared for about 10 years. See, about 10 years ago, he wore a different colored T-shirt and said, "Can you hear me now? Can you hear me now?" And his non-compete clause probably came out. Now he's working for one of the different carriers, but it's all about that, "Can you hear me now?" And we all know how frustrating it can be to get ourselves into a dead zone. Now, there's fewer and fewer dead zones, but we know what it is to be a dead zone, right? To have a call dropped or to not be able to hear very clearly because of the interference. I must have driven back and forth, east to west, to Madison from my house on Highway 60, Wisconsin State Highway 60. I've probably done it 400 times, and I know that there is a spot on that road where for about 8 minutes, no matter what I'm doing, I'm just going to go dead. It's just going to be a dead zone, too far away from the source of the signal. Friends, too many Christians find prayer hard because they've gotten too far away from the signal. So far away from the signal have they allowed themselves to travel that they no longer have the kind of receptivity that they would have if they were right there close to it. For prayer life to be effective, we need to come back to it. As one person said, "A strong signal indicates continual contact with the Lord. A weak signal means that you are drifting away from the source." And that is very dangerous, friends, because we can drift away almost unknowingly a little bit at a time, a little bit day by day. And we lose that connection with this God who longs to be in conversation with us. And so there are those four stumbling blocks. But friends, we can get over each and every one of them. There is an invitation to prayer. I hope you'll take prayer seriously this month and then let it be a part of your practice moving forward. And so if we're going to do this, if we're overcome these obstacles, we just need to make up our mind to do it. Was that the old Nike thing? Just do it? I mean, if we're going to be effective at it, we need to make up our mind to do it. It is a discipline. And just as if one person is born with this great, incredible, God-given talent, they have to be a steward of it. They have to work at it, even when they don't feel like it, if they really want to be a world-class athlete, if you want to be a world-class prayer, if you want to be someone who can pray even just a little bit better than you do now, have a little more intimate connection with God than you do now, then you need to work at it, make the decision to do it. You know, they say practice makes perfect, but we know we're on the road to perfection. Practice it. Find a different style. Find something that works for you and cling to that promise that Paul gave us, that the Holy Spirit is there to work with us. Just do it. And those of you who have tried know it's hard. You get interrupted all the time. Things happen, or maybe you're like me and you're starting to pray and all of a sudden your mind starts to wander a little bit. Am I the only one that that's ever happened to you? How many of your minds are wandering away right now? And you know, everything I have read and everything I would say to you is, when you're interrupted, see it as an opportunity, not an irritation. When your mind wanders, extend grace to yourself. It's a part of being human. As one person said, you can do nothing about birds flying over your head, but you can stop them from nesting in your hair. Interruptions are going to happen. Jesus, time and time again, was interrupted. He would sneak away to find times to pray, and the disciples would come, and he never once was irritated at those interruptions. And so make up your mind to do it. Make up your mind that you're going to be a person who listens for prayer. There's this really tough passage in the book of Proverbs. It's tough. It's tough love sounding, and it says this: God has no use for the prayers of people who won't listen to him. Are we listening? And so we overcome these hurdles by being by making our mind up to do it, to just do it. The second thing we do is we need to be intentional about how we do it. Intentional about what we're saying. Has anyone ever come up to you and said, you know, you share something that's going on with you, and they say, well, I'll keep you in prayer. You ever wonder, will they really keep me in prayer? If we're going to be intentional, when we say, I'm going to keep you in prayer, then we need to pray for that person. And if we don't know how to pray for that person, just simply sit and think about that person and just wait for God to lay things upon your heart that'll give you ways to minister, something tangible you can do. So we have the determination, we are intentional. But the final thing is this, it's this reminder. It is this promise that if prayer is the heart's true home, then prayer is born from a simplicity of a heart. There's a story of a father, a young father, who has a 2.5-year-old son. And on a Saturday morning, his wife woke him up, gave him a honey-do list and the child, and said, go. I'm going to have this day. I got to do some stuff. And so you just go take care of the things on this list. You have your guy time with this 2.5-year-old child. And so the father takes that out, and the 2.5-year-old son is as many 2.5-year-old sons are, easily distracted, you know, didn't want to follow along with dad. They were going shopping, and he was pulling things off the shelves. He was going shopping, and he would hide in the clothes things. You know, dad turned his head for 1 second. The kid was gone. The kid was getting fussy, and the dad didn't know what else to do. And so the dad picked up this child who was a little bit in disarray and held him tightly, not so tightly that he was going to hurt that child, but firm enough so that that child knew that it was in his father's arms. Have you been held that way by someone else? You know you're being held firmly, yet not with pain. And the father, with nothing else to do, thought he should sing. Now, Neil says everyone can sing in the choir, but this is a guy that would not be allowed in any choir anywhere. He, terrible singer. But he held that child, and he started to sing, I love my 2.5-year-old baby boy. He's such a good boy. I love spending time with my boy. So lucky to be the daddy of a little boy like this. And when the father picked up that child, you know, the child was squirming. And as the dad was singing truly awful notes, beautiful words of love, that child kind of almost went limp. Just was secure in that embrace. When the shopping was over, they went back out into the parking lot, and the wrestling match then continued to try and get that 2.5-year-old high-energy boy into his car seat and get him down. And the little 2.5-year-old boy must have known that he was starting to get worked up again. And he said, sing it to me again, Daddy. Sing it to me again. And I want to tell you that prayer is a little bit like that. With simplicity of heart, we allow ourselves to be gathered up and held in the arms of a loving parent, and let that loving parent sing it over and over again to us as we are in that embrace. And so it's my prayer that you will have a month of rich prayer life as you seek to have the discipline to just do it in ways that are intentional.